Welcome back to the second episode of the Saturday Reading Corner, the day where I spend one Saturday a month reading children's stories for the younger crowd so that way they feel included, especially if they aren't really up to listening to the rest of the stories or the Teaching Tuesdays that I usually do. But so far that's been kind of an iffy for the reading, the Friday quarter reading corner. But today I wanted to do one of the little books that I grew up reading again, and then saw a few other things. So today's might be a little bit longer than what you're used to, but just wanted to give you guys little extra for listening as long as you have and sticking out with me, and hopefully reward you guys for everything that you've been doing. Alright, the first thing I'm going to read today is a little story by Robert Quackenbush. Yes, that is his real name on the cover of the book, and it's called Henry Babysits. It's one of those books that you can purchase on Amazon. It's green and yellow with, yeah, as you will see from the story, the characters are going to be on it, and it's about someone named Henry babysitting. Henry the duck was enjoying a quiet day at home when the doorbell rang. It was Henry's friend Clara with her baby nephew. "Would you mind babysitting for my nephew?" she asked. Henry was not sure he knew how to babysit. "It's easy," said Clara. "It's my nephew's nap time, and he'll be fast asleep." Henry said he would be glad to babysit. When Clara left, he put her baby nephew on the couch and went back to reading his paper. The doorbell rang again. It was Henry's next-door neighbor. "I saw Clara bring her nephew over," she said. "Can you watch my baby, too? She'll be no trouble." Henry was a good neighbor, so he said yes. As soon as the neighbor left, the kitten began to cry. Henry was afraid she would wake Clara's nephew. He ran to get some milk for the kitten, but he had no milk. Just then, the doorbell rang. "I heard you were babysitting this afternoon, Henry," said another neighbor. "Would you please sit with baby Amanda?" Henry saw the bottle of milk in baby Amanda's hands, so he agreed to watch her. Henry set baby Amanda down. He took her bottle and poured a little of the milk into a dish. He gave the milk to the kitten and the bottle back to Amanda. Now both babies were happy, and Clara's nephew was still fast asleep. Suddenly, baby Amanda began to cry. Henry tried burping her, but that didn't work. "Maybe she needs changing," he thought. The doorbell rang again. It was another neighbor with another baby. "I heard you were babysitting," said the neighbor. "Would you please watch my baby? He'll be no trouble at all. He just needs a diaper change." When Henry saw the box of diapers, he said he would babysit. In a flash, Henry changed baby Amanda and the monkey too. He mopped his brow with relief. Clara's nephew was still fast asleep. Meanwhile, the kitten had finished her milk and wanted to play. But Henry had no toys. The kitten started to meow, baby Amanda started to cry, and Henry wished he had some toys. Once again, the doorbell rang. It was still another neighbor with another baby for Henry. "Just give him this ball to play with and he'll be no trouble," said the neighbor. Henry took the puppy and the ball inside. Quickly, Henry tossed the ball to the kitten and baby Amanda. They stopped crying and started to play, but the puppy wanted to play too, so he began to chase the kitten. Round and round the room ran the kitten and the puppy. Baby Amanda thought this was fun, so she began shaking her bottle, splashing milk everywhere. The monkey saw baby Amanda shaking her bottle. He thought it would be fun to throw things. Lamps and books and flower pots went crashing to the floor. Windows smashed, curtains fell. Henry could not stop what was happening. At last, it was quiet. The babies were tired, and they fell fast asleep. Henry looked around. Poor Henry. His house was now a mess. The babies were still sleeping when the neighbors came to take them home. The neighbors thanked Henry for being such a good babysitter. And Clara came to pick up her nephew. She wondered to herself why Henry's house was such a mess. But when she saw her nephew was still sleeping, she knew everything was all right. "You see, Henry," said Clara, "babysitting is easy." So, to add to the story of Henry babysits, I thought that I would read some of Aesop's fables, listing at the end what the moral of the story was about. So, continue to listen for some of Aesop's fables. The Fox and the Grapes. A fox one day spied a beautiful bunch of ripe grapes hanging from a vine trained along the branches of a tree. The grapes seemed ready to burst with juice, and the fox's mouth watered as he gazed longingly at them. The bunch hung from a high branch, and the fox jumped for it. The first time he jumped, he missed it by a long way, so he walked off a short distance and took a running leap at it, only to fall short once more. Again and again he tried, but in vain. Now he sat down and looked at the grapes in disgust. "What a fool I am," he said. "Here I am, wearing myself out to get a bunch of sour grapes that are not worth gaping for." And off he walked very, very scornfully. Moral of the story? There are many who pretend to despise and belittle that which is beyond their reach. The Boys and the Frogs. Some boys were playing one day at the edge of a pond in which lived a family of frogs. The boys amused themselves by throwing stones into the pond so as to make them skip on the top of the water. The stones were flying thick and fast as the boys were enjoying themselves very much. But the poor frogs in the pond were trembling with fear. At last, one of the frogs, the oldest and bravest, put his head out of the water and said, "Oh, please, dear children, stop your cruel play. Though it may be fun for you, it means death for us." Moral of the story? Always stop to think whether your fun may not be the cause of another's unhappiness. The Ant and the Grasshopper. One bright day in late autumn, a family of ants were bustling about in the warm sunshine, drying out the grain they had stored up during the summer, when a starving grasshopper, his fiddle under his arm, came up and begged for a bite to eat. "What?" cried the ants in surprise. "Haven't you stored anything away for the winter? What in the world were you doing all last summer?" "I didn't have time to store up any food," whined the grasshopper. "I was so busy making music that before I knew it, the summer was gone." The ants shrugged their shoulders in disgust. "Making music, were you?" they cried. "Very well, now dance." And they turned their backs on the grasshopper and went on with their work. The moral of the story, there is a time for work and a time for play. The Fox and the Goat. A fox fell into a well, and though it was not very deep, he found that he could not get out again. After he had been in the well a long time, a thirsty goat came by. The goat thought the fox had gone down to drink, and so he asked if the water was good. "Finest in the whole country," said the crafty fox. "Jump in and try it. There is more than enough for both of us." The thirsty goat immediately jumped in and began to drink. The fox just as quickly jumped onto the goat's back and leaped from the tip of the goat's horns out of the well. The foolish goat now saw what a plight he had got into and begged the fox to help him out, but the fox was already on his way to the woods. "If you had as much sense as you have heard, as you have beard, old fellow," said the fox as he ran, "you would have been more cautious about finding a way to get out before you jumped in." The moral of the story? Look before you jump. before you leap. The dog and his reflection. A dog to whom the butcher had thrown a bone was hurrying home with his prize as fast as he could go. As he crossed a narrow footbridge, he happened to look down and saw himself reflected in the quiet water as if in a mirror. But the greedy dog thought he saw a real dog carrying a bone much bigger than his own. If he had stopped to think, he would have known better, but instead of thinking, he dropped his bone and sprang at the dog in the river, only to find himself swimming for dear life to reach the shore. At last he managed to scramble out, and as he stood sadly thinking about the good bone he had lost, he realized what a stupid dog he had been. The moral of the story? It is very foolish to be greedy. The Shepherd Boy and the Wolf. A shepherd boy tended his master's sheep near a dark forest not far from the village. Soon he found life in the pasture very dull. All he could do to amuse himself was to talk to his dog or play on his shepherd's pipe. One day, as he sat watching the sheep and thinking what he would do should he see a wolf, he thought of a plan to amuse himself. His master had told him to call for help should a wolf attack the flock, and the villagers would drive it away. So now, though he had not actually seen anything that even looked like a wolf, he ran towards the village shouting, "Wolf! Wolf!" As he expected, the villagers who heard the cry dropped their work and ran in great excitement to the pasture. But when they got there, they found the boy doubled up in laughter at the trick he had played on them. A few days later, the shepherd boy again shouted, "Wolf! Wolf!" And again, the villagers ran out to help him, only to be laughed at once again. Then one evening, as the sun was setting behind the forest, a real wolf happened to spring from the underbrush and fall upon the sheep. In terror, the boy ran towards the village, shouting, "Wolf! Wolf!" But though the villagers heard the cry, they did not turn to help him, and they said, as they had before, "He cannot fool us again," they said. That day, the wolf killed a great many of the boy's sheep, and then slipped away into the forest. Moral of the story is, liars are not believed even when they speak the truth. The Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. A certain wolf could not get enough to eat because of the watchfulness of the shepherds. But one night he found a sheep's skin that had not been cast aside and forgotten. The next day, dressed in the skin, the wolf strolled into the pasture with the sheep. Soon, a little lamb was following him about and was quickly led away to slaughter. That evening, the wolf entered the fold with the flock. It happened that the shepherd took a fancy for mutton broth that very evening, and picking up a knife, went into the fold. There, the first he laid hands on and killed was the wolf. Moral of the story? The evildoer often comes to harm through his own deceit. The Lion and the Mouse. A lion lay asleep in the forest, his great head resting on his paws. A timid little mouse came upon him unexpectedly, and in her fright and haste to get away, ran across the lion's nose. Roused from his nap, the lion laid his huge paw angrily on the tiny creature to kill her. "Spare me," begged the poor mouse. "Please let me go, and some day I will surely repay you." The lion was much amused to think that a mouse could ever help him, but he was generous and finally let the mouse go. Some days later, while stalking his prey in the forest, the lion was caught in the toils of a hunter's net, unable to free himself. He filled the forest with his angry roaring. Mouse knew the voice and quickly found the lion struggling in the net. Running to one of the great ropes that bound him, she gnawed at it until it parted. Soon, the lion was free. "You laughed when I said I would repay you," said the mouse. "Now you see that even a mouse can help a lion." The moral of the story? A kindness is never wasted. The tortoise and the hare. A hare was making fun of the tortoise one day for being so slow. "Do you ever get anywhere?" he asked with a mocking laugh. "Yes," replied the tortoise, "and I get there sooner than you think. I'll run you in a race and prove it." The hare was much amused at the idea of running in a race with the tortoise, but for the fun of the thing, he agreed to do it. So the fox, who had consented to act as a judge, marked the distance and started the runners off. The hare was soon far out of sight, and to make the tortoise feel very deeply how ridiculous it was for him to try and race with a hare, he lay down beside the course to take a nap until the tortoise should happen to catch up. The tortoise, meanwhile, kept going slowly but steadily, and after a time passed the place where the hare was sleeping. But the hare slept on very peacefully, and when at last he did wake, the tortoise was near the goal. The hare now ran his swiftest, but he could not overtake the tortoise in time. Moral of the story? The race is not always to the swift.